Hannah.
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and welcome to BoxBox F1 Pod. Today is our pre-Russian Grand Prix episode, and we're going to get into the Sochi track, what to expect, and all that. But first, it's time for our digital warm-up.
Do-do-do. Lap 1. Aston Martin. They finally re-signed Sebastian Vettel and Lance Stroll, to everyone's shock. But not really, because one of them is related to the CEO, and Seb is a legend and just the best human ever. So they would be idiots not to re-sign both of them.
Yeah, I don't. They were like, it's just a contract thing. But like, what on earth could have been? Like, what was in Lance's contract that he's like, let's negotiate, guys?
Right.
Must have been Seb.
So Otmar was interviewed about the re-signing, and he said, next year, we expect both of them to race well in what will be a very different formula from the current one. We never underestimate our opposition, so we do not intend to overpromise, but we know that Lance and Sebastian will get the very best from the tools we will put at their disposal. First of all, a very different formula from the current one? Like,
isn't that what they're all saying?
The car. Yeah, I mean, you always, you know, for the most part, do some sort of upgrade year after year.
Well, no, the rules are changing, remember?
Yeah.
Fernando said he came back, he unretired because he wanted to see what it'd be like to race in a new car. So it must be, for people who know what they're talking about, there must be significant differences.
Well, now I'm excited, too. I just thought the statement was a bit much, you know?
To me, it reads more like, if anything goes wrong, it's on Lance and Sebastian.
Yeah, like, we're giving them the best tools ever.
Not our fault.
So, I don't want to overpromise, but they should be doing good.
If they're crap, it's them. The car's incredible, is literally what he just said.
Yeah, which I find as a weird statement to make, because Aston Martin's cars are, like, average, you know, like,
yeah, in they're comparison, racing cars,
which is why I get like things are changing in the next year and like there's the new rules and regulations, but I'm still like, because everyone's going through it, despite the changes, they'll kind of be in the same position, right? Like in the middle of the pack.
Isn't also the claim that teams like Mercedes and Red Bull also have the budget cut
cap
so they are more impacted than other teams? So I actually don't know how that'll make a difference. They're all working with the same budget now? Or is it like a percentage of like your last budget? I don't know how it works. But like, for some reason, the worst teams think that they are now at an advantage, I think. I mean, Gunther has been hyping up their car for like a year.
Yeah, not only is Haas on a more level playing field budget-wise, but they also have a year ahead of everyone because that's all they've been doing this year.
Literally. So look out for Haas to dominate next year.
And apparently Aston Martin, according to Otmar.
Another fun thing that I saw today that's sort of Aston related, not really, but Esteban Ocon turned 25 and he went to dinner and he posted the picture from dinner and it was him, his girlfriend, Lance Stroll and his girlfriend, and Mick Schumacher.
Yeah, so cute.
So cute. There was a third girl there. I don't know. They were sitting on opposite ends of the table with Mick. I don't know if it's his girlfriend, like, and they're in a fight. So they sat on opposite ends, but, or if it's just a random girl. But,
or maybe they're the type of couple that's like, oh, like, we don't need to sit next to each other, you know, like, we'll mingle.
I believe that. I believe that about Mick.
And I think that is kind of nice.
Yeah. I think it's cute.
But, right, yeah, no evidence to support that. That's just a possibility. I don't know if Mick is dating anyone.
He is, but he's super, super private. So I actually don't know if he would have even permitted a picture of his girlfriend to go up.
Yikes.
Their family is incredibly private, which is why I was obsessed with the documentary.
Yes, which we will watch.
We will.
Together.
Yes, and I'll be very excited. It's going to be so sad. I'm already prepared.
Yeah. Okay. Lap 2, Alfa Romeo. So, as we talked about before, and as everyone knows, Valtteri has one Alfa Romeo seat to replace Kimi, but we still don't know who Alfa Romeo's second driver is, and rumor has it, Antonio is somewhat likely to be replaced. I don't know what their expectation was going in, but they don't find him very impressive with only scoring 1 point this season, But all I have to say is Kimi, who's kind of like an F1 legend in his own right, only has one more point than Antonio. So I'm like, I mean, it's kind of the car at a certain point. But in any case, it's not a sure thing that Antonio will have a seat. So people have floated potential options. One is Nyck de Vries, the Mercedes F1 reserve driver, and he's the Formula 2 and Formula E champion from years past. And
he's the one we talked about in as a potential for Alex Albon's seat at Williams. It was one or the other.
Toto really likes him. And then another potential option, who I've personally never heard of before, Gyeongju Zhou.
Isn't it Zhou?
No, I think it's pronounced Zhou.
Oh, okay. I believe you.
I don't know. I Googled
I've seen him around. He did some of the behind-the-scenes stuff for Alpine.
Yeah, so he's the Alpine F1 reserve driver currently, and he's also driving in Formula 2 and one of the top drivers there. And if he is selected, he would be the first Chinese F1 driver, which means a lot of Chinese sponsors and money. So he's considered to be a highly likely pick.
Yeah, that makes sense. Money, money, money.
Yep.
And lots of Asian drivers on the grid next year. That's exciting.
Not lots.
Well, comparatively.
Like Alex Albon, Yuki.
I mean, and lots. This guy. Yeah. If he comes.
Yeah.
I mean, comparatively to all white and Lewis.
Yeah, no, I love to see representation. It's a slow burn, though. Other people have suggested Robert Kubica is the Alpha reserve driver. So, of course, he's in the mix. And he's the driver who filled in for Kimi for the past two races. But it's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, he said so. They asked him in an interview and he was like, probably not.
They also asked the team principal and he was like, he's on the list, but there's other people who are higher. Which is like, ow.
Probably much higher.
Yeah, but they're all on the same page.
They've done the old guy thing before. They, like, probably want more fresh blood.
Yes. Speaking of old guy, Kimi has recovered from COVID, and he's feeling better than ever.
He's prancing through meadows.
Which really just means he's standing in a cornfield wearing all black for some reason.
And, like, I'm good. And that was it. That was the whole caption.
So we'll see him in Russia.
Lap 3, McLaren. There was an incredible greeting for Daniel and Lando when they returned to the McLaren Technology Center. Looks like every single person from Zach to, like, the janitor stepped out to greet them. They arrived, shockingly, Lando arrived in his McLaren, dark blue and a bright teal. It was pretty color combo. They, for some reason, were traveling with their trophies just in the front seat. And they were greeted, like, with a hero's welcome. They got out, everyone cheered. They took this giant picture in that field. It was cute. And then we also learned from some of our listeners that there were a lot of pics of Zach trying to, like, looking like he was trying to take a selfie with Daniel Ricciardo, or, like, shoving, like, a phone in his face. And he wasn't just being a fan. He was FaceTiming Daniel's parents. And that's so cute.
Yes. And Daniel's parents are, like, the cutest people ever, too.
Yes. If you watch Drive to Survive, his mother is just, oh, I love her.
Emotional roller coaster with Gucci glasses.
Yes.
I love her.
Me too. She, like, you could feel her stress, but her excitement and her, like, passion for Daniel's career, but also, like, don't die. It was just all at once. She's very sweet. I love her a lot. Other McLaren-ish news. This isn't actually McLaren news, but last week we talked about how, what's her name? Emma Raikkonen is obsessed with Formula One and obsessed with Daniel Ricciardo, and she had just won the Women's US Open. And the next day, Daniil Medvedev, a Russian tennis player, won the men's U.S. Open. And he, in an interview, he said that he had been watching the race beforehand and was like, all he could think about was the Max and Lewis crash. And then he tweeted, thanks, guys, and tagged them in it. So I don't know if, like, he was so distracted that he was chill and, like, wasn't in his head, or, like, what about the situation helped him
win. Well, yeah, I think his tweet was, like, thanks for the distraction.
Yeah.
It's like, well, tire almost crushed Lewis's head, but yeah, let's call that a distraction.
I guess it helped in the sense that he wasn't thinking about the fact that he was playing against one of the best tennis players of all time. Yeah,
I get that. Like, if you're gonna do something really, or if you're in the middle of something really stressful, you obviously want a distraction to kind of take your mind off things. But wouldn't you want to take your mind off something with something super not stressful?
Yeah,
to also, counterbalance.
What if someone died? What if your favorite player or favorite driver didn't go through? Like, you would
exactly
have negative
energy.
Wouldn't
that weigh on you further?
Maybe he's fueled by negative emotions. Who knows?
But I'm so glad that he's an F1 fan, because there is something about having the routine of watching it every Sunday.
I mean, it might be stressful, but it's a good routine to have, and it's nice to sit down with coffee and whatever we're
eating. Biscotti.
A biscotti. Or a stroopwafel.
Yes.
And watch people drive and potentially get crushed by tires. It's a thing. Lap 4, Lewis and crash aftermath. So, Lewis flew straight from Monza to the Met Gala. He dragged poor Roscoe from Italy to New York overnight, shoved him in a suit, and then feeds him only watermelon. And that sounds exhausting to me. I can't imagine how this dog is surviving.
And you know, that infamous deleted post where Lewis tagged George, but originally it was about traveling with Roscoe. Because Lewis doesn't bring Roscoe around everywhere. He usually leaves him with caretakers. But for the Met, I guess this is like an exception because it's such a huge event.
Roscoe didn't even go, though.
But he dressed up for it. He was in the spirit of the Met.
That's true. Loved every minute and then stayed alone in the hotel room.
But he probably had really fancy watermelon and accommodations, because I'm sure they stayed at, like, a lavish
hotel. Oh, I know. Lewis has a penthouse in New York City.
Oh, yeah. Which he probably only goes to once a year for this.
Yes. You know, do you think Roscoe drinks sparkling water?
I don't see why not.
I don't either. It's vegan, so might as well. I did read. So Lewis has a home in London, in Chelsea, I believe. Mm-hmm. He has a home in New York City. He has a home in Monaco. And he has a home in Colorado. Mm-hmm. In an interview, he named which one of those homes was his real home. Which one do you think he named?
Monaco?
Nope.
New York.
No. He considers Colorado his true home. From what I understand, Colorado is his winter home, which I guess is his longest period away from Europe.
Yeah.
And apparently family comes there a lot. So he makes a lot of, he said there's a lot of memories there with friends and family. Whereas Monaco is just sort of, he probably spends more time there, but it's sort of his layover home.
One good thing about his Colorado home is if it's not in a super urban area.
No, it's in, like, the mountains near Vail.
Yeah, like, actually, if you're a celebrity of that caliber, like, especially because he goes out so much and he's so recognizable, like, of all the F1 drivers, like, it does make sense if you want privacy and, like, relaxation to pick the home that doesn't have as many people around or paparazzi and all that.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's in a place called Bachelor Gulch, which is in the mountains. Yeah.
Bachelor crossover.
That's why she was there.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, but no, I agree, like, why it's there. There are mountains in Europe. All right, so, Lewis attended the Met Gala in what I consider one of his better outfits.
Yeah, it was kind of like a white lace over kind of a black suit-ish kind of thing. Kind of hard to explain, but it was lace over suit, or like a combination.
It was a black suit with like a lace shirt underneath that was long, that had like a one part of it hanging all the way down to the ground, basically.
Yeah. It looked classy.
Yeah, it looked cool.
You know what was weird? The whole theme of the Met Gala this year was America. Not a single person looked like a cowboy to me.
So I think someone came in boots. But the one, Lily Reinhart, whatever her name is, she wore a floral dress and each flower was from a different state. So that was cool. Like a low-key America, nod to America. But everyone was like an Oscar de la Renta. And like, I thought Timothée Chalamet did a good job. He had a good mix of like American designer. It was an American designer, but he was wearing suits and sweats and like Chuck Taylors, which I feel like is America. So back to Lewis. His and Max's crash was weird. People were still talking about it afterwards. Max said he walked away because it was better to walk away in the heat of a moment than like do anything, which I agree with him. Lewis doesn't understand why Max didn't check on him, because despite being competitors, they still should care about each other's well-being. I definitely saw Max stop.
It really depends on your definition of checking in. Because, right. Yes, bare minimum check-in, like Max looking over to make sure Lewis is alive and then walking away. However, it just wasn't like a very compassionate or good, caring look, because he just like literally glanced over and left. So, I mean, I'm not saying Max was in the wrong, because another thing Max said was he saw Lewis trying to reverse out. So obviously he was okay. So I'm not saying Max should have been going over there like, hey, man, how's it going? You okay? Like, while Lewis is still trying to race.
Max was angry. He did. I think if he saw that, like, Lewis wasn't moving, Lewis wasn't doing anything, he would have paused. I do believe he would have paused. Like, that would have, that's something that would ebb anger away. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you see someone, like, not actively doing anything, you it would put pause to your anger.
Yeah.
But when he literally sees Lewis, like, actively trying to reverse, like, not looking up, just, like, reversing, he's like, oh, fine, okay, cool, bye. And, yeah, like, walked off. He wasn't going to help him out of his car.
One other thing I'll say, like, is even though after the race, the stewards did decide that Max was at fault because he shouldn't have been so aggressive, like trying to overtake in a chicane and like that risky situation, it was not a great look that like right after the crash, Max was like, this is what happens when you don't leave me space, and was like fully kind of blaming Lewis for what happened, or like that was kind of where it seemed like his anger and frustration was coming from. Like, that's a totally valid way to see it, especially in the heat of the moment. Like, he was obviously just trying to win and, like, thought he was in the right. But I think that just, like, further compounded the issue of, like, not only did he not fully check in on him in, like, that concerned of a way, but, like, the first thing he said was essentially kind of, like, he had this coming. But, again, like, I don't think, because Lewis was clearly fine and was still trying to race, I don't think Max owed him anything. But that just kind of made it look worse, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does make sense. I do think it's the way he phrased it more so than what he actually intended behind it. I think he just meant, like, he believed that Lewis was required to leave him space. And he's like, when you don't leave your, when you don't do what you're meant supposed to do, this is what fucking happens. We crash.
Yeah.
And we're both out. But then Lewis said in an interview that he's probably going to have to see a specialist before competing in Sochi. But then he went to the Met Gala.
I assume they did a preliminary check and he was okay, and maybe he means, like,
that he doesn't have a concussion to, like, actually compete. To be fair, both of them had, like, when Max spoke after the race, he had calmed down and he was like, look, I walked away. It was, that always happens. Like, you're in the heat of the moment, you're not going to talk about it, but I'm sure we'll talk eventually and it'll be fine. And he was peaceful, Max, despite the hat he was wearing.
He better bring the curve cap back, because this was too much.
I know. Someone sent us a meme of, like, comparing every time he wore a flat cap and a curved brim. He's won every time he's worn a curved cap.
Why did they abandon their great plan midway through?
I know. And the final thing, Lewis said, I don't know why we couldn't grab a beer together. Which, like, you're not going to grab a beer together.
Maybe.
First of all, beer's not vegan.
It's not?
No, I don't think so. They use some sort of fish There's some vegan beers, but a lot of beers are actually not vegan.
They can get a good vegan wine.
Yeah.
But maybe after Lewis retires and they're not in a fierce competition.
Probably. In a few years. I loved how Max was like, yeah, we'll probably talk later. Like, and Lewis is like, we're going to get beers together. Like, that's not happening. Talk maybe. Even that's a stretch, probably.
They're both a little bit extreme.
Yeah, they are. In opposite directions.
On polar ends, yeah. Yes. So it just makes it more awkward. Because it's like, if they both were inching towards the middle a bit, like if Lewis was less happy-go-lucky and Max was like a little bit nicer towards him, then it'd be fully fine.
Agreed. And also, you know, that could really have translated to the track.
Yeah.
If Lewis had moved over a bit and Max hadn't tried so hard to go to the extreme, everyone would have been safe.
Well, that wraps up our digital warm-up. And now, on to our track walk. Is this called the Sochi Autodrome?
Autodrome.
Okay, so that's the track name, and a bit of history. So it was actually originally planned to be built to host the Grand Prix of the Soviet Union in 1983. However, that plan was abandoned for, quote, bureaucratic reasons and several failed attempts. And so it was finally built in 2014 using the internal park roads that was built for the 2014 Olympics in Sochi. And the first Grand Prix occurred in October 2014. So it was literally a 30-year campaign to get a Soviet Union Grand Prix.
That's hilarious. Wasn't that what we talked about with Bernie Eccleston, who tried he really wanted to get behind the Iron Curtain. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he really wanted to have a Soviet Grand Prix, and then he realized Russia was a depressing place. Which I'm like, and you needed to do market research for that?
You didn't just know? Well, no one knew. No one was allowed behind the Iron Curtain.
But, like, it's kind of a safe assumption, you know? Like, I think he actually, like, had to find out for himself somehow. But it's like, you didn't need to do research for that.
No. Yeah. So, very short, very brief history. Not even 10 years old. The circuit itself, as Hannah said, is built from old roads used for the Olympics. And it has a bunch of 90-degree turns. So, yeah, lots of, like, a bit bendy straights. And then there's one insane turn that goes around a fountain that's just, like, a full half circle. The fountain is called Poyushchi Fontan, which translates to singing fountain. And it's really cool if you look it up. It's colorful. It's big. It's very nice. I don't think it'll be on while they're going.
Yeah, but I think this will be an exciting track just because it's not just going to be about speed with all these crazy 90-degree turns and half circles going on. Like, it's going to require a lot of skill and, like, amazing braking.
Yeah, definitely.
So, in terms of what to expect and our predictions, Mercedes has actually won here every year. Lewis won the first race in 2014 and then 2015. Nico Rosberg won in 2016. Valtteri won in 2017. And then Lewis won again in 2018 and 2019. And Valtteri won the race last year in 2020. So based on history alone, you would think Mercedes would win.
I, however, have a different theory. The Dutch Grand Prix this year was won by a Dutchman. The Italian Grand Prix was won by a whatever, third-generation Italian. He has Italian roots. So obviously, Nikita Mazepin is going to win Sochi. And I don't stand by that claim, but I will say maybe he'll finish P19.
I assume either by luck or rigging, Nikita will have a better result than usual.
Yes, he is, after all, representing his country, although not officially, because Russia's banned from all international competitions.
Yes, but effectively, he's representing all of Russia and Putin, and there's no way he can DNF or finish in P20, because that's such a bad look.
Yes. Do you think Putin's coming?
Yes.
Or at the very least, one of his
minions.
Lookalikes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forget what this thing was about Putin cloning.
Oh, yeah. So apparently he doesn't attend most public functions. He has clones or lookalikes that attend in his stead. It's hilarious. When we were watching I think we were watching Sochi Olympics and he came on, he was on screen. My grandmother leans over to me and she's like, "That's not him." And I'm like, "How do you know?" She's like, "I can tell." And I was like, "Okay, if you say
so." She's an experienced woman.
She knows how Russia and former Soviet Union work.
It kind of came up, too, because a few years ago, the one where Lewis won, there's, like, a famous photo of it looking like Lewis is spraying Putin with champagne. Lewis explains that he definitely didn't, and it's the angle of the photo, but people were like, "I wonder if Lewis was exiled to Siberia, and we're now watching his clone race because he's offended Putin."
Very likely, you know, that's not that far-fetched. Real Lewis Hamilton is somewhere in a Siberian camp.
Yes. Well, let's hope Nikita doesn't disgrace the country and is exiled to Siberia as a result.
That wouldn't happen. His father is an oligarch.
I kind of hope we get a little bit of Dmitry action at the Sochi Grand Prix, because I haven't seen him at all this season.
Oh, I see him in, Nikita posts pictures of him, but I guess Sky Sports isn't really bothered to show Dmitry Mazepin.
Nope, and I don't blame them, but I assume at this one, he'll get a little bit of airtime.
You know what's cool though? I was reading about him. He actually has a PhD.
In oil?
It actually was funny. His dissertation that he defended was about how to successfully run an oil company, and I've just never heard anyone actualize their dissertation. He literally just, like, it was like an instruction manual for himself. And then he went and did it. But yeah, he's actually a very educated, smart guy. During the Olympics, when all the Olympians were complaining about poor living conditions,
yeah,
and that they had like no running water, but luckily there was a framed picture of Putin on everyone's like bedside table.
Like, you never put a picture of a person in every room. That's just narcissistic.
There's one of the Russian channels, it's called Первый канал, first channel, where they are clearly like the national TV company, a TV channel, and they only do pro Putin news basically. And then there is one that doesn't. And I remember in my grandmother's home, like, she was like in a senior home that's mostly all Russian. They like got aggressively divided down the middle between who watched which channel because most of them are like obsessed with Putin. They think he's like God's gift.
I did see all those pictures of Putin riding shirtless on a horse.
That's my favorite. No, my actual favorite Putin moment is that him and Medvedev, the prime minister, were working out in his like country home, and they had their official photographers like hide in the bushes and like take like paparazzi style shots with like a bunch of clicking of them working out together shirtless and then sitting down and having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
It was staged to be like paparazzi photos. I thought it was so funny. Anyway, we love Putin. Don't kill us.
Yeah, don't kill us. But excitingly, they're building a circuit near St. Petersburg, which F1 will use starting in 2023. So, and I don't think they're abandoning the Sochi track, but it's like the Russian Grand Prix will be held in the St. Petersburg circuit, and maybe Sochi will be like intermixed if needed.
Yeah. And from what I've seen, none of the drivers like Sochi very much.
Yeah. I mean, maybe part of that's because Mercedes has won there every year, but I also think the track, I mean, if I were a driver, the track seems just like a headache.
Sochi's supposed to be a really fun place, but for some reason, athletes don't like it.
So, getting into standings, the driver standings are pretty much the same as they've been for the past month or two. It's Max, Lewis, Valtteri, Lando, and Checo, with Max and Lewis really neck and neck. And then constructors-wise, it's Mercedes, Red Bull, McLaren slightly ahead of Ferrari, and Alpine in fifth. McLaren's been leading the entire time, so I have no doubt. Yeah. I'm really excited to see Daniel, because Daniel seems like he's on an upswing, so it's like, is he going to continue? And like, is this a good momentum, or was it kind of like a one-off?
I hope not, because it was a gradual post summer. Like, it was a gradual improvement. Yeah. So
I love seeing a happy Zach Brown.
Me too. Oh, me too. Anything made. Although I didn't process the fact that his shirt was completely see-through during the podium.
Yeah, he was doing a white t-shirt contest by
yes,
himself.
He was. Him and Helmet should compete.
Ew.
All right, moving on to a new segment called the Box Box Inbox. Get it? We get some awesome emails and DMs from you guys. So we thought we'd talk about them as they come in, if there's anything interesting and if we get any questions. And we actually did get a question this week from one of our listeners asking if drivers get weighed in after they DNF. And we'll be honest, no clue. We tried researching.
What prompted the question was after the race last weekend where Max and Lewis crashed, Max walked straight to the pits and was, or it at least looked like on TV, he went straight to Helmet to complain. And obviously, whether he got weighed or not, it's not really important to show on TV, but it did kind of raise the question of, I wonder if he got weighed in before he started complaining.
Yes.
And talking to Helmet. So that's why it was asked. But I read the FIA regulations, and it's not like it stipulated anywhere, like, even if they DNF, they need to be weighed. It was more vague, broad language.
Yeah, like Hannah said, if the race is over, they get weighed. But is the race over when your race is over? The actual race is over? We don't know. She also, the listener also referenced that Kimi moment when he just walked off the track in Monaco onto his yacht. But if anyone knows, anyone listening knows whether they get weighed after they DNF or don't finish a race or not, and if the car gets weighed, and if they do, like, why is that important? You can DM us on Instagram, on Twitter, email us. It's all BoxBoxF1Pod, because we would like to know, please.
Yes. to food.
Yes. We are in Philadelphia next week. I'm visiting Hannah.
Woohoo!
It's very exciting. We have a restaurant scheduled for every meal of the day.
Yep, pretty much.
And we are also going to be attending a Georgian restaurant. And some of you may be like, but Sochi's in Russia. Well, it used to be part of Georgia. So,
also, I just have to say, Philadelphia has a really diverse and rich food scene. Like, truly, every country. Except, apparently, Russia. I've been looking for a Russian establishment in Philadelphia and asked so many people. So, also, if you guys know of one, email or DM us, but I did a pretty thorough search on this for the past month, and, like, literally the only nation we don't have food from, except for, like, modern fusion, you know, like, is Russia, and I'm not, like, the modern fusion isn't even, it's barely Russian.
my uncle said, also lives in the area, and he said that, like, all the Russian stores are, like, in Huntington Valley type area, so, like, outside of Philadelphia, and they're, like, proper Russian stores, like, the size of regular grocery stores, like a Whole Foods. Okay, good.
So we'll for sure do that.
Yes. Also, Russian restaurants are very specific. Like, there's modern, there are starting to be more modern restaurants, but traditionally, like, when I was younger, the only Russian restaurants that existed were, like, a 6-hour meal that you attended. There was a dance floor, there was a band. Like, it was like, you don't just, like, sit down and eat. Like, it's a full situation.
It's not a fast casual concept.
No, no, not here. The Russian restaurants they open here, like, there's a lot of Soviet singers that made a second career coming to sing at Russian restaurants in America.
Wow.
Because they don't come without, like, a stage. Well, but that's changing
that
a bit.
Being treating themselves.
Yeah. They love to party. So we will have some Russian snacks for the day of the race.
Yeah.
Next time, Sochi together. We'll be recording together. And then after that, we will be releasing our Schumacher review.
Yes, we're waiting to watch it together, so probably next weekend. F1 fanatics have obviously already watched it because it came out like 3 days ago, and generally reviews have been really good. Like, I haven't read any spoilers, but just, like, overall impressions, they're, it's obviously meant to be a really moving piece, and people were moved by it.
Yes. I saw one quote that was a spoiler, and I've already cried, so.
What? From a quote?
it's a sad quote. When you hear it, I guarantee you will at least, like, your eyes will water at the very least. It was sad.
Okay, I'll be emotionally prepared.
Okay.
For one quote.
Yeah, that's all then. We'll see you guys next week. Box, box.
Box, box.